You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And apart from our tame resident commentator, Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, we also have David Shapiro, as always on a Tuesday. He's from Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. But I've brought in what they call a ringer, and that is Wayne McCurry from FMV Wealth and Investment, who's a portfolio manager at that institution. And the reason I brought him in is because of his optimism about the GDP, which has been well placed. So we've got the optimist in the form of Wayne McCurry, we've got the realist in the form of David Shapiro, and we've got the bloke in the middle who really doesn't care, he's ambivalent, Greg Davies.
I'm just here to learn from the masters.
Exactly, so am I, and it makes my job a lot easier to have these two giant brains.
Wonderful.
Wayne.
Wayne,
you're the guest, so you start. Yes. GDP number was good.
Well, thank goodness for small miracles. Thank goodness we get some good news in a sea of despair in South Africa. Yes, it was a good number. Look, it was always going to be a positive number. It was always going to bounce from the first quarter -3%. Look, we've still grown zero for the year, so let's not throw a big party, eh?
But, well, I wasn't intending to.
Good news is still better than a jab in the eye with a sharp stick.
Yes, it is. David Shapiro, do you share that sort of reserved optimism?
Well, that was very elegantly put. I can't beat that. But I think what Wayne says is don't get too optimistic, because if you actually calculate GDP, we're flat for the year, or very, very slightly. No, still down.
Slightly negative.
Yeah, still down 0.1%. I actually measured GDP from the beginning of last year, and we're up about 0.6%. That's over 18 months, which is far too low. I'm just looking. I'm not sure what spurred Lindsay, without taking over this. I'm not sure why the market has spurted in the last few minutes, but we've gone into positive territory from what was a very weak situation. So things are happening on the market, which I don't know whether our GDP, and that's why I'm coming back to it, whether it's results driven, whether it's international driven. But there was a bit of buying in the last few minutes that actually pushed everything into positive territory. And that's against the kind of trend that we're seeing on other markets. But I'm searching for an answer for what the background was.
Well, Greg will tell us about that. What happened in the auction, Greg?
Yeah, David's quite right. There was a surge. I mean, when the GDP number landed on our screens around 11:30, I think we were down 400 points on the All Share. And initially there was a rally there, and it looked decent. And then, but I mean, I'm just looking at an intraday chart. Literally the last 5 minutes, we rocketed back above onto the highs of the day aggressively. Volume wasn't that great, 15.6 billion, but market welcoming at that news. And we sort of decoupled from the developed markets today, just trading on the back of our better GDP. Also, the rand's improved quite a bit at 15.12 against the US dollar.
We'll come to the JSE indices later, but Wayne, going back to you, because you sent out a tweet yesterday, I think it was, and there were two words in it that I picked out, and you never reply to tweets, or retweets rather, and there were two words: if the GDP comes in okay, South African stocks should rally, and if was fulfilled, and should rally, maybe they have rallied in the last half hour.
Yeah, they have. Look, they have gone up. I mean, a lot of the SA stocks, the SA consumer-related stocks, the banking shares, the financials was the biggest index up on the day. It was, in fact, other than gold shares, the only index up, I think around about 1%. But ABI was up, Truworth was up, Pepco was up, Mr. Price was up, Foschini's was up. You know, so, I mean, Foschini came out with results, so that was part of that share appreciation there. But definitely this helped the South African shares. I mean, it doesn't actually, to be honest, it doesn't actually change all that much other than changing optimism. I mean, it doesn't change our credit rating outlook. It doesn't change government debt levels immediately. Given the inflation scenario and all of that, we should still see another interest rate cut coming up quite soon, and that'll also help with sentiment. So, and these, I mean, I don't think many people will dispute that the SA-related shares, in comparison to their history, are very cheap at these levels. Of course, they can stay cheap forever and they can get cheaper. At least this gives some hope to people like me who think these shares are cheap, and that the future doesn't have to be good. It must just be better than the past, and you might actually make some money on these shares.
David Shapiro, come in here because you're the realist in this triumvirate.
Yeah, you know what I'm struggling with is that if we look, having gone through results, you know, having gone through Discovery, having gone through Bidvest results, and looking at the numbers, I always try to break down how they've done. And even today, you know, reading Aspen Cash Build, looking at motor vehicle sales and trying to get a feel for what's happening. There's still a lot of challenges in the South African economy. No one's talking positively. Everybody's, brings up how the consumer's under pressure and all the issues that have dragged down on the market. And when I look at this, and this, I need some help from Wayne, because I might be off on a tangent. You know, when we listen to analysts, they keep saying, they always, when they finalize, they say, my fair value or my value is based on an exit PE. In other words, if you sold the shares at a multiple of 14 or 15 or thereabouts, and I'm saying, hold on a sec, these companies are not growing at those kind of levels. They're growing at 2, 3, 4%. Maybe sometimes they're actually not growing. They're in negative territory. And I'm saying, on that strength, I don't want to pay a 14 PE. I'm quite happy to pay an 8 PE or a 7 PE. Therefore, I want a much bigger dividend yield, which will compensate for flat earnings. So in my mind, I'm saying, you know, if we continue along this flat pace, you know, if we continue to go sideways, then shares are still expensive in my, you know, in my view, unless we start to see some kind of turnaround in the economy, and you know, there's no real hint of that yet. So that's where I come from. I'm saying the multiples that we see, in my view, are still on the high side.
Yeah, they are a little bit high. Let's have a look at a couple of sets of results that came out there this morning. I spoke to Greg on the opening about Cashbuild, and Cashbuild is a company that he knows intimately well, and it's gone up 1.3% today, I think it is, something like that. And Greg, maybe you could just describe the action, because as you quite rightly say, it has a small float, 25 million shares, and yet it's gone from 2 rand to 230 rand, and at one stage was 400 rand a share.
Yes, so it's probably half of its all-time highs, you know, when retail stocks were very much in vogue and it was pushing out some solid earnings. The share today finishing up 1.3%, 238 rand, still 2.5 million rands worth of shares. That's 10,000 shares trading hands. VWAP, the average price, around about where it closed. So doing some volume in more than it normally would without results. But that is the biggest problem with the stock, is it's so illiquid. Probably, you know, if you wanted to buy 5% of the company, would take you a year.
Yeah, indeed. Wayne and David, is this too small for you to look at, Cashbuild? Wayne, start with you.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. I mean, Cashbuild was a fantastic company up until about 3 years ago when it came out with poor results, 3-4 years ago when it started reporting poor results. But, I mean, these results weren't bad. Earnings were down 6-odd%. It's not a bad set of results from Cashbuild. And if you, I'm just going to another company now, Massmart. I mean, I went to their presentation, and there, the builder section is doing incredibly well. It's the only one of the Massmart stable that actually maintained margins, improved sales, and was profitable just about. You know, it made, and there that the background was that their commercial customers, so the bigger builders, aren't buying, but the home builders and the bucky builders and you and I doing DIY at home.
Not me, actually.
And that's a higher mod.
Sorry, you have to stop there. You can take me out of
this. You on that one.
Just you, not me.
That piece of the market's actually doing quite well, and that should be good for Cashbuild, because that's they serve more or less the same people. So Cashbuild,
You know what? You know, Wayne, I looked at the chart. I'm looking at a chart as we talk now, because it's a company I've always admired. And I've always watched it closely for the very reasons that you're talking about. You know, even in the US, you've got Home Depot, you've got Lowe's, companies like that, which I've always admired. And yet, I look at the share price now. We're back at levels that we were 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah, very much so. They've had poor results.
Yeah, I know the results have been steadily. You know, they've been poor, but not dramatically poor. Yeah. And yet, that share price has gone from 500 to where it is now. in the 230s, 240s, and it doesn't look like it's there's any turnaround yet. You know? And if you read the results, there's still pressure on the consumer and you call them bucky builders because they're out in the – I mean, they're all over the place, farmers, yeah. Everybody. And I'm surprised that within the mass market group that side of it has done
That's done well. But, I mean, when you look, David, coming back to your story about the share price and that, I mean, this thing peaked out – when was it? 4 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, I'll give you – they were five – in 2018,
yeah, they peaked up in the 2018, yeah.
That's right. They were about
480 bucks. Yeah.
400, 490, yeah.
Now they've come from the 490 odd down to the 230, but the earnings have come down as well. And this is a 10 PE share.
Mm.
You know, I know you said you like an 8 PE share,
yeah.
everything, but 10's not far off that.
You know,
so that's why, I mean, as you said early on, if the economy does nothing, these shares are doing nothing and probably going down.
Mm.
But if the future is just slightly better than the past, I mean, we've had 8 years of mediocre growth, to be generous in the description. You know, so, yeah, 10 PE.
I suppose a lot of investors are hanging on for that solid dividend that it does pay.
For the year,
8.55. So I know Pat Goldrick quite well, and he's still holding on to a lot of shares. And basically, that dividend is his little.
About a rand, I think. He bought them at a rand, and they're about 250 rand now, Pat.
The 1980s. But Shapiro and I are getting too old for this game now. I
mean, yes, you
still
are.
Remember Nampak as a solid company. We still remember Cash Build as a solid company. We still remember Liberty as a solid company.
So tell us about the 1929 depression, guys.
Yeah, that's called the 29 called Shapiro there.
Gentlemen, I love your intergenerational banter. But, Greg, actually what I'm going to do now is give you a backdrop because it was quite startling, the fact that the JSE turned from down 0.6% to being up. So what clue can we get from the overseas markets? Well, I can tell you no clue really because the S&P currently is down around about 22 points. Let's have a look at how the Rand and the bond market reacted to the GDP figure. If I can just manipulate my screen. Also, Greg, you're the youngest on this slot, by the way.
Yeah, I can give you the Rand. Yeah, I think
please let the old man do it. Here we go.
Sorry.
15.16 the dollar Rand. British pound against the Rand, 18.31. The euro Rand is 16.62 and the euro dollar, 109.65. Let's have a look at the gold price, and we'll come to gold. Oh, look at this. The old boys won't understand this, Greg, the gold price, but it's just pushing 1550. It's 1549, and it's going to break. The platinum price is 955, which is up $24 an ounce. Palladium, Greg, over to you.
Yeah, probably the metals, the least well-performing at 1538.
Okay, the oil price is 58.14, which is down 1.5%. And if we go to the overseas stock markets, as I said, the S&P under a wee bit of pressure here, although we get used to these 20, 30, 50-point moves. But let's have a look. The Dow Jones is down this is quite big, 353 points. And the NASDAQ and everything else in a similar vein. But the Dow Jones is 1.3% weaker. The other two are around about 0.8% down. David Shapiro, you watch these things because you're a sort of US-centric person. What do you think?
The ISM manufacturing number came down, which was in negative territory. In other words, contracting. And the first time, I think, for a long time, and also the lowest since about 2016. So this all points towards nervousness and concerns about trade wars. So it's now beginning to get reflected in the U.S. numbers, particularly in manufacturing. That just shook the market. Markets were down on trade war. On trade wars. I think the Chinese wanted to delay tariff increases over the weekend, and they appealed to the U.S. The U.S. said no. Now they can't find a date. They can't find an agenda. So you've got the combination of worries about what this all means for the global economy, just weighing on price, weighing on prices, and that came on top of. The ISM manufacturing number came on top of this. So U.S. markets taking a bit of strain.
Wayne, when you have a look at the South African investment side of your business, which is more or less 75% of it, do you have a look at the macro that David has just described and the tweets and everything else?
Yes, very much so. I mean, it is such an opportunity, such an integral part of investment nowadays. Donald Trump and trade wars and so many unknowns there because you're dealing with an open, essentially.
Yes.
And that is, to me, that's still my biggest single book, is that there'll be another tweet or there'll be another catastrophe in this relationship. And if you make, okay, David spoke about the U.S. production numbers. The U.S. Consumer Sentiment came out 8 days ago, whenever. And there they're low. And there, the biggest single reason that people gave as to why their confidence had dropped was trade wars. So you just get another step up. I mean, this last thing that Donald Trump did, putting his extra tariffs on, went completely contrary to the truce that they agreed at the G20 summit, wherever that was, 2 or 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Went completely contrary to what he advised. They said, do nothing, and he said, well, I'm just going to do it. So you just got to get one more thing like this, you know, one more tweet or more tweets like, you don't know who the biggest enemy is, China or your own chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank. Then confidence, people don't spend, the economy goes.
When we're losing you a bit there, let's move on to David very quickly on this point. Actually, no, let's go to Greg, because you're a fan of Donald Trump. His tweets, well, he is. I mean, he's unashamedly a Trumpist. What do you think about his tweets this afternoon about playing golf? And he brought Obama in, which is so unnecessary and so childish and so puerile.
Yes, but I mean, that's really his charm, which I think some people do miss. But he, you know, he speaks from the heart, really.
No, he doesn't.
And says exactly what he thinks, which we haven't had a politician that's done that probably in the last 50 years. He tells you exactly, if he thinks you're a loser, he'll tell you on Twitter. What worries me about the market, just jumping back to the market for a minute, is as you were saying the other day, 1550 is a very big number on the gold, spot gold trading. It's 1548 now, so it's $18 higher. But the shares didn't really react here. Mm-hmm. I know the gold shares were up 1 1/3. I've watched them very, very closely. And, you know, something like Sibanye was a little bit lower, Harmony a little bit lower. Than obviously, the U.S. was closed Monday, but it's not that frantic buying of gold shares.
I think they ran ahead, Greg.
Yes,
you know what? I think gold and platinum shares have run way, way ahead of the underlying gains that we've seen in metal prices. And, you know, that's what worries me. Even if you look at the results from the gold companies and platinum companies, they're not that spectacular. Mm. So I think it was more emotional, which has been the characteristics of gold and of mining booms and that you know, you tend to find shares running way, way ahead of the actual fundamentals. So I think that's what might be happening now, is that everybody anticipated a little too much. And I wouldn't be surprised, and I can't really call it at the moment, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see some backtracking, you know, in those shares, even though the metal prices might hold up.
Let's have a look at the
traders used to always say that the gold shares lead the gold price, not the other way around.
Yeah.
It's very much a case today.
Let's have a look at the top five major movers, and this is where you come in, Greg, because I don't think these chaps know how to press buttons and things on their screens. So let's leave it to the youngster. Greg Davies, 52 years old. Aspen, up nearly 7%. TFG, that's the old Fashini, up 6.5%. Discovery, a 3.1% winner. AVI, up 3.1% as well. And Anglo Gold Ashanti, 2.6% to the good. Any stories there, Greg? Actually, let's just quickly talk about Aspen. It's gone from below 60, hasn't it?
Yeah, we could be here till 7 o'clock if you just go through those five. But Aspen, obviously, that the trading statement this morning, Mr. McCurry was tweeting about it, more or less saying what I think everyone was thinking. They have actually delivered what they said to the market they would deliver. They've reduced the debt. The share price had been hammered down. And so a 7% move, I think at one point, it was up 12% on the day, but some bullish reports coming across my desk from some of the bigger brokers saying maybe it's time to have another look at this one. If they can get that debt a little bit more under control, I think it's around 40 billion, about equaling the market cap at the moment, but the market liking the news flow today.
Indeed. On the downside, we've got Fortress B down 6.75%. RCL Foods down 6.75%. Sappi, a 4% loser. Sassel down 3.4%. This one makes me very, very nervous. Either it's going to come back and make a double bottom and then off it goes, or it's going to just go down to new lows. Maybe 2.20, 2.30 is what people are telling me. And CAP down 3.25%. Any comments there, Wayne or David?
Yeah, look, I mean, the Aspen story, surprisingly enough, I'm quite surprised the market reacted like that. I think it's people covering their shorts, because nothing was new in there. We knew all of that. It's all been disclosed to the market. So I'm surprised that it did that. We'll see how the share price reacts over the next two or three or 3 days on that one. Another share that's done heavily today, you didn't mention, is Into, UK property company with problems there. That's done percent since it's high.
How many
have been slaughtered?
How much was it? Yeah, I just missed you there. How many percentage points?
For the day. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, Greg, I've got to dash off for another interview. So please give us the JSE closing indices.
Sure. The bank's finishing up just over 1%. Financials up 0.44. Industrials up 0.25%. Retailers probably on what Wayne was saying, possible rate cuts. Retailers up nearly 2%, also some good numbers there. Gold index up 1.33%. Platinum down 0.91%, probably on the rand. That left the all share, I've just seen this up. It's flat now down. Actually down 43. Down. It was up at the close. Mm. So 54,742, turnover 15.7 billion rand.
And David Shapiro, this is a tradition, Wayne, by the way. It's David's either story of the day or shock of the day. David, what was it?
I think the one to watch is Richemont. And, you know, the last couple of days it's been coming down. And that's on weakening sales for watches, which is unusual. It's not. It's had some impact on the other luxury goods and that. I don't know whether this is the Hong Kong side. Yeah. We saw weakness yesterday. We saw another lot of weakness today, down about 2%. Just watch that. You know, if the Hong Kong, if it persists and Hong Kong's economy starts to come under pressure, I'm afraid this one's going to, you know, feel the weight of that. Somehow, it seems to be much more aligned to what's happening in Asia and Hong Kong than maybe some of the other luxury goods, which seem to be better prepared or better able to withstand the Hong Kong economy coming down. This seems to be far more highly geared to that. But just watch that one, a bit of weakness coming in recently.
We shall watch that. Thank you very much, David Shapiro. You're the realist. You were joined by the optimist, Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investment. And in between was the intermediary, the broker, Greg Davies, head of wealth at Kratos Capital. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.